Okay, so, good morning again. I've got something for all of you today. And I think we have something good for the children next door too. This message and this passage we're looking at hits us all. And there's a lot of good things to say. Now, it might be that passage that some guys were just waiting for us to get to. You know, they're like, we gotta have to be in church when the pastor preaches on Ephesians 5:15 through, okay. All right, but the truth is, there's a lot given to men here. It's a really good passage for men, teaching us how to be godly men, husbands, fathers. And so just much wisdom here that we extract out of the Word of God. So let's start by just reading our passage. And we're covering a lot today. And we've got kind of a short amount of time, but I want to try to be clear and concise is my goal. But let's go through and let's read through the passage that we're looking at. So starting in verse 22, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." Now, I might have had the wrong verses up there in the beginning now that I'm looking at. So starting in 22, this is where we are. Okay, so going on. "Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live life long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or a free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him." That's our passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today. We thank you for your word, which is our fixed reference point in this ever-changing world that we live in. But that you have spoken and it has been written down and you have given us your word and that it helps us, Lord. It may not be the way that everybody wants to think about it here in 2015, Lord, but it is timeless, it is unchanging, and it is from you. And we thank you for that. We ask that you would teach us from your word today, that you would soften our hearts, that you would help us to truly understand and gain wisdom from you today, because we're here and we're eager to listen and eager to learn. Thank you so much. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so that was the passage. Like I said, it's kind of long, but I really don't know. Oh, this is not going to work. I'm sitting there. This thing is my most entertaining piece of equipment here. So if you can just hit it down for me one time, though, while we're waiting for that to come on. Once more. So there are really three concrete examples here given. It's the first thing that we should understand. That all these things, they're not separate. You know, it's not like separate thing about husbands and wives. It's not a separate thing about fathers and children. It's not a separate thing about slaves and masters. It's all fits together. So there are three concrete examples. And then even before that, if we back up and we look at the last verse that we looked at last week, was actually verse 21. It says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's the first thing that we should notice in the context. This whole thing is talking about how to live your life, how to live the new life for Christ. How to not live the old life, but how to live the new life that Christ has for you now that you're saved. Okay, so before all this, he says, in that, one thing that's really true is that as Christians, we all have to submit to each other. We submit to each other. We have a certain respect and also just we defer sometimes our own will and what we want. And we trust other people and we make decisions together. It's not just a matter of being in charge, but we recognize that we're part of the body and we're not doing anything on our own. Amen? So that we need each other, we make decisions together, and we honor and respect and submit to one another. And when we don't do that, if we do the opposite of that, then that's a sign that God's Holy Spirit is really not either at work in a person or filling a person, or that it's definitely not happening the way God wants it to happen. And so there's that concept is usually called mutual submission. That's what we call it, mutual submission. We have mutual submission in the church. And I believe that you have, if you have two people that are married, husband and wife, there's a mutual submission that exists there. Also, as far as them both being believers, it's not like, okay, one just lords over or rules over the other and makes that other person their slave. There's always a mutual submission. That's what God wants us to live like. That's how He wants us to be as followers of Christ. But He gives us these three concrete examples. The first was marriage. So husbands and wives. And this has to do with submission. It has to do with authority. It has to do with headship. It has to do with how to be the leader of your home, what it looks like, how to love, how to respect. That's what a lot of what we see in the marriage example. The second example was parenting, specifically mentions fathers and children. I don't think the things that are said there are just only good for fathers, but specifically they're stated for a reason because maybe this is what fathers have trouble with. Similar to the marriage part, and we'll get into that, like why it says that a husband needs to love his wife and a wife needs to submit or respect her husband. And then the third one was, I call work, slaves and masters. Not many of us are slaves or bondservants or anything right now, but we do have jobs and we have bosses and managers and those kind of things. And it's a little bit like that's how you would apply this to our lives. So there really are three concrete examples there given in the scripture. They all have to do with the same thing, submission to authority and the godly exercise of authority. Amen. You like it? A lot of people don't like the words like submission and authority and those kind of things. You know, they're not people's favorite things. But I do want to say that this is such a great and rich passage in Scripture. It's the kind of thing that we're going to go over this. We're going to spend about 15, 20 minutes going over this today. Maybe a little bit more. But, you know, this is rich. And this is something like I've been spending, you know, number of weeks thinking about, and especially this last week. And this is something that you, especially if you have a family or you have a job, that this really will help you out, to live and exercise and respect authority the way God wants you to. Amen. All right. So let's talk about the passage. So it starts off with wives. And that's why I said, you know, some husbands are probably really super excited to be here today because this is their favorite verse, you know. Wives, submit to your own husbands as the Lord. And, you know, someone is here saying, amen, brother, finally that pastor says something that I can appreciate and that I like. You know, it's okay to laugh, you know. But we look at this first, you know, I already told you this, in the context of mutual submission, right? Mutual submitting to one another. But specifically, wives are called out. Now, does that say anything about husbands? I had one idea, one thought was like, okay, let's do this. At this point, all guys leave the room. Go in the back. Just ladies in here. I mean, you're not going to really make it use, but just picture yourself leaving the room. Because it doesn't say that this was written to you to remind your wife this, does it? Amen? The first point I want to make, if you ever have to pull this verse out and remind your wife of it, you missed the boat. I've been married 22 years now, and I only ever talk about this when my wife brings it up, okay? Amen. It doesn't mean that I don't believe it. It doesn't mean that she doesn't believe it, but I don't ever have to pull the wife submit to me card out of the book. Amen. And I really believe this, that it doesn't say anything to me about it. It says talking to her. This is written to her. So it's much better when I just take myself out of it. I just get out of the way. God spoke to her. Why do I need to get involved with it? Amen? And it's the same for me with many things. But in this particular case, this is written to women, that God says, as a wife, you need to submit to your husband and his authority in your marriage and your relationship. And yes, in 2015, there are a lot of people that are going to say, you know, that's old-fashioned. That's not the way it should be. You know, 50-50, all this kind of stuff, you know. But the thing is, when we look at the unchanging Word of God, He gives us a pattern for marriage that actually really works and that really has a certain reflection of Jesus Christ and the church that we see. And that's what we're going to see. So He's saying, as a wife, you want a happy marriage? You want a marriage that works? You want a husband that is the man of God that you really want him to be? Submit to him. Submit to your husband. It says submit to your own husbands. Now, that doesn't mean you have to submit to everyone else's husbands. It's not saying, okay, you know, ladies, you know, you're second-class citizens or whatever, you know. The whole submitting thing is, I think of it as like, many times, God takes someone who in so many ways is better than the other person, but they have to willingly submit themselves almost to this lesser person at times. When I think about that, like in my own marriage, in so many ways, Hannah's better than me at so many things. And she's probably better at making decisions. She's definitely better at relationships and understanding and parenting and these kind of things and the kids. But that there's a willingness of she's willing to submit herself still and put herself under my leadership. And I think sometimes God uses the foolish things of this world, right? Amen. And I feel like sometimes I'm like one of the foolish things, okay, that He's using. But this is what the Bible says. And if you're here today and you're like offended by this or whatever, don't hate on me because I didn't write this. I didn't come up with this. God says it. God says this, and this is what's best for you. And God doesn't say anything that's not best for you. And, you know, most women really just want to be loved by their husband and cherished by him and appreciated by him. Okay, but your husband is different than you. And if you want him to love and cherish and appreciate you, it starts by you submitting to him. It starts with that. And that's a part of it. That helps to open up the door for him to be the man that you really want him to be. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but the thing is, this is a lot like something else. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. So I think that's pretty clear what the Bible says is that within a family and a relationship and a marriage, that the husband is supposed to be the spiritual head of the family. Amen? That's what the Bible says. That's the pattern teaching. The husband is supposed to be the spiritual head of the family, just like Christ is the head of the church, and it's his Savior. Now, you know, in some ways, we're not going to really be the Savior of our wives from their sins, but we can be, it's kind of like we have that role as stepping in and being their Savior. You know, we see often, even in the Scripture, like Redeemer was a word that was used, like kinsman Redeemer, like when Boaz came in as the Redeemer. That's who we should be. That's the kind of character that we should have. Okay, but that we're supposed to be men. We're supposed to be the spiritual heads of our home. Oftentimes, that's not true of us. Oftentimes, if we really looked at it, we thought about who is the more spiritual one? Who is the one that loves God more? Who is the one that studies the Word of God? Who is the one that wants to serve God? Many times, it's not the man, it's the woman. Can you get amen to that? Because that's the truth, but that's not what the Bible, that's not God's plan, that's not ultimate design. And so, if you're here today, and maybe that's not your husband, and you want it to be, well, I'm not saying, okay, there's an emergency here, we gotta stop the presses and everything like that, but I'm saying this, here's what God would hope for you and your husband, and this is the way it works its best, is when a man accepts that role, and a wife allows a man to have that role, to be the spiritual head, just like Christ is the head of the church. And so, in many ways, it's like, you know, if you really looked at my marriage and stuff, so much of it is like, it does look like 50-50 because there's that mutual submission. But within my wife, there's a recognizing that I am the head of the home, and I know, I can feel it. I know that she respects me, and she allows me to do that and be that. And then I very much want to be the spiritual head of the home, to be the one who brings the Word of God into it, and who prays, and who tries to know that, hey, it's not her responsibility to do that, it's my responsibility to do that. And I want to be a man of God. And I just want to ask you guys today, do you want to be men of God? I hope that you do. I'm about to get shaken up here. I think about it. I know that in so many ways I fall short, and I have fallen short. I remember a long time ago, I was listening to Focus on the Family before I had kids. And I knew that one thing I wanted to do was be a good dad, a godly dad, taught my kids about the Lord, and was a good husband in the Lord. And what He wanted me to be and what He wanted me to do. And so I appreciate being able to be the head of my family in that way. And I hope that you do too, and that this is moving you today to want to step up and to step up to the plate. You know, be the kind of husband and dad that you're supposed to be, that God wants you to be, and He empowers you to do that. Okay, so it says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, so on that, you know, basically the idea is that, as a church submits to Christ, you know, that's our example. It's a similar kind of a thing. It says, wives, you know, you're going to submit to your husband in that similar kind of way. It doesn't really mean that your husband is the Lord, because that one previous verse kind of gives you the idea. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's not so much saying your husband is the Lord or the Lord of the home. He's under the Lord if things are working the way they're supposed to. He's placed Himself under the Lord's authority. But it's a similar thing in a similar kind of way. You're submitting to your husband as the church submits to Christ. And so He's saying that when you do this, you're reflecting really what the church is to Christ. Now the church submits to Christ in everything that they do. Now, just practically speaking, like my wife and I, we make decisions together. I believe that that's the way you should do things. Make decisions together. And I don't lord over anyone. And no man should be lording over his family. And like I said, you shouldn't have to bring this up. Okay, but sometimes when we have to make certain decisions, my wife will allow me, and I say allow because, you know, like people could stand and fight about things and want to have things happen, but she knows that, okay, she's going to give me the final say on that. I'm the one that's there to make that final decision. It might not be the one decision that she wants. Okay? Like, she wanted this, like, 200-year-old farmhouse over in Spanaway when we moved here. It was like 1,400 square feet. And like 5 acres. I said, no, we're going with the home in the neighborhood. Third of an acre, 2,400 square feet, built in 1996. And I think that was the right decision. Amen? With our 4 kids, yeah. And our busy schedule. But it was kind of Anne of Green Gables-esque, if you know what I mean. You know? It had grapes growing and everything, you know. So, all right, so that's a willingness, though. When I say a lie, no, like she could stand there and fight me about that, but and all you wives could, but at some point it's willingness to accept your husband as a leader. And you believe me, you want your husband to be a leader. You don't want your husband to be a weak man. You want him to be a leader, a strong person in your family. Alright, now, the thing is, that was it, ladies, for the most part. There's one more thing I gotta say to you at the end. That was it. You know, you're off the hook here. You know, now we get to listen to what God has to say to husbands, and it's a lot more there. Amen? There's way more here being said to the husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. So first thing first. Husbands, you know, we're not told the same thing as what we're told to the wife. It's not like we got the same advice. There's unique command given to us, unique advice given to us. It says, husbands, love your wives. Let's just keep it simple there. Let's start with that. Love your wife. Now, old pastor, I used to love the way he'd say this. I repeated it like he said it. You know, he says, you don't just got to love your wife. You got to love them. You just got to love them with all your heart. It's not just feelings either. It's like, it's really hard, and they're different, and they think about things different than you, and they come at you with things, and sometimes you just say, not now, and you want to push them away, and you know, like, because their minds are like spaghettis from what I understand, and they just go everywhere, and you know, you could be right in the middle of just in your little compartment, your little waffle compartment, thinking about what you're thinking about, and they want to bring up all these other things, and you just panic because you're not ready for it. Amen? That's what I believe research has showed us in personal experience. But we got to just love them and appreciate them and just cherish them, you know? And that's what we're commanded to do. And we have an example of this. We got to do this in the same way that Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And so in our case, you know, we think of love and what it should look like. Well, we know what love looks like. Christ willingly laid down His life for His bride. He gave it up. He died. He paid the price. And so like when we think of love, love is not just having somebody to put our arms around and someone to be intimate with. It's that we are serving, we are giving, we are putting our lives on the line. We're giving and we're not expecting something in return. Amen? That's the love of Christ. And then look at the goal. He says that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word. Christ's goal was to sanctify the church, to make them clean, to make us perfect, to make us holy before God, to wash away our sins. And He's saying that your example of love is Christ. And so when you love your wife, your goal ought to be to present your wife very much to God, that she's holy and set apart and that she's cleansed and she's washed with the Word. And that's what it means to be the spiritual head of your home and to be that man that God wants you to be. That when you look at this, and when I look at this, and I definitely fall short in so many ways, but I think, I want to wash my wife with the Word. I want to be there with her, reading the Bible and talking about it and praying and studying it in this way and doing that. And that's what the Bible means by, you know, washing her with the Word, that we can do that. And that is something that we should want. Now, you might be a husband here and your wife might not want that at all. Okay? But that's just, again, these are like things that you pray about then. You pray about them and it's a hope that you have, and it's a good hope. Okay? And so that would be our goal as men, as husbands. And then it doesn't stop there, it just keeps going. It says, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And this is what I was talking about. So our goal as husbands is that our wives are holy. And holy just means it's set apart for God and His purpose. That would be our goal. Okay? That's the result of us being in the Word together. And the result of us praying together and having that kind of a relationship together, that we're definitely in it together. If there's one person that we should really be into it with, it's our husband or wife, if we're both believers. And if you're not both believers, then again, just be praying about it. You know, I'm growing up in a home, my dad's not a believer, my mom is. You know, it's just, I'm the product of that. You know, good things happen as a result of that too. But there's an awesome blessing, though, if you're in it together. Amen? And so you can do that. And you can have that. And that's the pattern that you really want. And if you're here and you're not married, you're single, you're young, I'll tell you this with all my heart, you want to marry someone, if you're a believer, who's a believer and you can be in it together. That's the best advice I could give you about marriage and the relationship. I guess I would also add, just because a person too says that they're a believer, a Christian, that doesn't mean anything either. You got to like watch them for a long time and see whether they're really genuine. Okay? All right, so that's the goal. He says, in the same way. Man, how many verses did the wives get? This is a lot of verses for the husbands here. It says, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of His body. And the Bible tells me that no one ever hated their own body. And some people say, what about those people that kill themselves? It's like, you know why they kill themselves? Because they love themselves so much, they thought that they were getting a raw deal. And the thing is, we all just, we care so much about ourselves, our own bodies, feeding our own flesh, and our opportunities, and what's fair and right for us, and all these different things. Okay? That often comes first, and that's what's natural. And he's using that as a picture. He says, you know what? You got to love your wife just like, or even more than you love your own body and your own self and your own flesh. That's what Jesus did. Jesus loved His bride, the church, more than He loved His body. Amen? And so that's the thing. It's like, okay, when we married, our pastor used this passage. We were married over at Calvary Baptist Church in Tacoma. Pastor Burnett read this, and I heard some stories about some of the ladies when they got to the part about wives submitting to their husbands. They were looking at each other, raising eyebrows, and you know, doing some different things. Just some people that we had invited, not close family or anything, friends of friends, parents or whatever, and they were kind of they're surprised, you know, that we would say that in our wedding, you know, that the wife should submit to the husband, but nobody. Nobody seemed to bat an eyelash about this. And I have to tell you, I think it's a lot. It's probably easier to submit to somebody and just say, well, I'm just going to get out of the way and let God do what He's going to do, than to say, like, okay, you got to love like Christ loved, and you got to be willing to love like your own body. You got to be willing to give up your own life if necessary for this other person. And when God says give up your life, He doesn't actually really want us every day to just die. I mean, He wants us to die to self and every single day give up ourselves to that other person. I mean, I think it's a two-way street, but it's like specifically husbands are called out on this. That we got to really love our wives the way Christ loves, and He loved the church. Okay, because we are members of, or it goes on to say, because the church is members of His body. Man, it just doesn't stop, guys. Here it is. Now it says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is talking about marriage. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. And the way I interpret this, understand, is what he's saying, is he's saying that marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. It reflects it. It shows it. So when your marriage is working the way it's supposed to be, it looks like the relationship between Christ and the church. It shines light on it. It gives us that. And so that's the mystery. It's amazing. Now he says, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself. And then back to the wife. It says, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And this simple verse is probably at the heart of that pretty famous marriage book and video series, Love and Respect. But this is the basic idea. Husbands are commanded to love their wives. Wives are commanded to respect their husbands. It doesn't mean that they don't love their husbands. It doesn't mean husbands don't respect their wives in any way. But here's the idea. What are most husbands going to struggle with? Unconditionally loving their wives. What are most wives going to struggle with? Unconditionally respecting their husbands. Because as that series points out, so often like women are challenged. They go, you know, you're supposed to respect your husband. And they might say something like, you know, I'm respecting, but he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve my respect. And then they say, well, do you deserve his love? And do you want him to love you unconditionally, or do you want him to love you conditionally? And what these ladies realize is that they're respecting in a conditional kind of way. And so that's something not more often that a ladies would struggle with more than men. Okay, so husbands, we struggle with how to love our wives in a tender way that they need to be loved. Amen. Any of you guys got that figured out yet? Got that all understood? Well, I'm telling you, this passage helps you, and God's Word helps you, and His Holy Spirit definitely helps you. Okay, so just really quick, a healthy marriage resembles the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. Remember that? That's a healthy marriage. Husbands, love your wives as yourselves. Wives, respect your husbands. Amen? Love and respect, they're unconditional. Don't put conditions on it. Don't put conditions on your love. Don't say, I'm going to love my wife if she does this, and she shows her love to me, I'm going to show my love to her. Don't play that game. As the same thing with respect. Don't make it conditional. Okay, going to have to kind of fly through this really briefly. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. I'm going to come back to this a little bit next week, too. So kids, don't think you're off the hook. Make sure your kids are here during women's retreat, okay? Amen? If you're a dad and you're here, I want to encourage you to bring your kids next week. Amen? Be here. So, children, obey your parents in the Lord. We ought to obey our parents. You know, I don't get away from this with my parents. I still remember it, you know. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a good thing. Children, you're supposed to obey your parents. You know, naturally, what the sin that's in you that comes natural is to rebel and disobey your parents and not listen to your parents. But what God wants us to do is obey your parents. I bet there's talking about that back in children's church. You could thank us later. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the commandment. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so, even when you move out of the house and you're older, you still got to honor your mom and dad. Amen?
Amen?
Parents. And you honor them in different ways. I honored my dad yesterday by breaking down about 1,000 boxes of golf clubs. he's got all these golf club shaped boxes, you know, that he's ordered mini golf clubs off the internet over the years. You know, I don't know how many. He had so many boxes, he piled up the garage, he couldn't even get out, and broke them down. But to me, I'm just thinking, I'm honoring my dad by doing this. Amen. When I was younger, my dad asked me to do things I thought weren't so. I was like, why? Dad would say, move these rocks from here, put them all around the trees in the yard. Think, why? They're all like right here. This is the craziest thing you could ever ask me to do. They're just going to probably get in the lawnmower if we put them around the trees, you know. I fight and resist and things, but, you know, like as I've grown in the Lord, it's just more like, you know, okay, Dad, whatever, you know, I'll do it, you know. I'm there. Help you out. So, I love it. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with the promise, meaning that God says that if you do that, what He indicated was says that it may go well with you and that you may live long life in the land. And just in general, that God gives you a better life when you honor and you respect your parents than you do if you rebel against your parents. God, if you rebel against your parents, many times what happens is you get involved in sins and things and difficulties, and it spirals down and out of control. And if you had just listened to your parents and honored them and respected them, you wouldn't have gotten into all that trouble and had all that difficulty heaped on you and on your life. Amen? Okay. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And just, we as fathers, like oftentimes, like I think what has come so natural to us is to criticize our kids, to say little mean things, and to correct them. We want to teach them. We might have good intentions, but the way we go about it, it actually alienates them. And so he's saying, like, this is more the thing you got to do. Don't do that. Don't provoke them. Don't tease them in ways that provoke them to anger. Instead, your goal is to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So yeah, sometimes you have to do things they don't appreciate, and your goal is to want to teach them, and it's more than just book knowledge, but it's a life knowledge, but that should be your goal as a man of God. Amen? And then just remembering this, guys, again, children, obey your parents, honor your parents. It's the first commandment with the promise. Fathers, don't provoke. We're repeating here. But I like this last one, thinking, what is it we're not to do? We're not to provoke, we're not to tease, we're not to do those things that make them angry, but we're to bring them up in the Lord. That's what we want. Amen? Okay, then last was slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. And this time they had, in the church, within the church, they had both people who were slaves and slave owners, and it wasn't like North American slavery, it was more part of their economic system, like they didn't have bankruptcy. If you couldn't pay your debt, you said, I can't pay the debt, but I'll be your slave. It was kind of along the lines of what it often was. And so, here, he's saying, you know, if you're a slave, it says, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, really with sincerity, as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as a people pleaser, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whatever, whether he is a slave or free. But the idea for us being, you know, I say that we're not slaves, but we are employees and we are workers, and all those things that are true about the slave, we can apply to our lives too today. Amen. When we work, we ought to not just do a good job when the boss is watching, but we ought to do a good job all the time. Amen? Now, it doesn't stop there. In all these, it kind of gives you both sides of things. It says masters, or we can think if you're a manager over people, or you have people that report to you, do the same to them, meaning do a good job, treat them well. You know, just don't act one way in front of them, another way. Don't be a hypocrite. You know, all these things. Do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. So as a slave owner, or as a manager, as a worker, you need to treat people, not mistreat them, because you have authority over them. And it was the same thing as a husband. If you're the head of the wife, you don't mistreat her because of that. Or if you're a parent and you have authority over your kids, you don't mistreat them because of that. Amen? All right. We just saw all this, so isn't that good? It's a little different than what you're going to pick up watching Oprah Winfrey or something like that on television. Did they take her off the air or something, or what? She quit. Okay. She started something else. Okay. Anyhow, I don't want to go into it. I'm not here to attack Oprah Winfrey or anything like that, because I'm going to put this on the internet. She might hear it. You know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this, the light it shines at us. We just scratched the surface on this. And we got to live this, Lord. And in the context that we're looking at, we got to treat each other really well. And just really love each other and care for each other and respect each other, Lord. But you've said some specific things to husbands and wives and fathers and children, and slaves and masters, Lord, that needed to be heard, Lord. And we need to really live those things in our lives. And I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would change us, convict us, shape us, and help us to do those things, Lord. Thank you so much. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.